Today's share, I probably had a decent amount of preparation. You think about it, I had the whole summer to prepare. So I saw this topic and it caught my eye. Today's topic is sushi on Shabbos. Can one have sushi on Shabbos? Now, when you talk about foods in Judaism, you know, there's a lot of Judaism is very much based around eating, whether it's Shabbos, Simchas, it's all about the food. And you think about it, within the Jewish community, there are many individual communities, people hail from many different countries, backgrounds, and everyone has their niche food. If you grew up in Russia, or maybe the Lower East Side, you might enjoy having borscht. If you grew up in Hasidish Shtibel, you like having with your herring a little kichel. Right? Classic American Jew, Sunday morning is a bagel and lox. If your Sephardi on Shabbos would not be complete if you didn't have a Moroccan cigar, a lahmaji. So many different foods that are prevalent in the Jewish community, but a lot of them are relative to your background. There aren't so many foods that have made a hit across all spectrums of the Jewish community. How do I know that sushi is a food that has been accepted by all stripes of Jews? Well, the New York Times told me that. There was an article that appeared in the New York Times in... No, this is not part of the fake news. In 2016, it's been fact-checked. The article was about, did Jews give up gefilte for sushi? That was the title, the theme of the article. And at that point, they counted just in Borough Park alone 50 sushi stores. Now that stat might be off because there's way more than 50 sushi stores in Borough Park. Sushi happens to be the type of food, it's parv. It's not milchix, it's not fleishix. So a pizza store, almost every pizza store now, has some nice Asian man making sushi. You go to a fleishik restaurant, a meat restaurant. What do you have over there? You also have a nice Asian man making sushi. The Jews have done a lot for the Asian community. Right? You don't usually see a Hasidish guy making sushi. Right? We'll talk about that later. Part of it is the look. You have the guy decked out in his white uniform sitting there making fresh sushi. So sushi is a food which has basically been adapted across the board in the Jewish community, amongst other communities. And that's going to be the topic of today's share. Before we delve into sushi, I must give a disclaimer. I'm not giving this share because I enjoy sushi. In fact, I must admit, I never had sushi in my life. I see the eyes bulging out. I'll explain. I am with the times, I'm fashionable. When sushi first hit the scene, it was probably really started getting major exposure in the Jewish world, I would say 15, 16, 17 years ago. So that point in time, it was a new fad. I remember being at an event, my brother-in-law said, hey, you'd like to have some sushi? Like, I'm careful before I try something new. I wasn't jumping at it. I'm not going to go into the full story because it's probably a great topic for another share. But about 16 years ago, I ended up in the emergency room because I mistakenly ate some fish. After massive testing, it came out that I'm highly allergic to any type of fish. So I will not eat sushi. I wouldn't even taste any sushi that has no fish in it because I'll be afraid of contamination with fish-based sushi. I wouldn't go near any of that stuff. So if you want to get me a present, make sure it's not a sushi roll. So I actually had to talk to a lot of people about sushi to really understand the topic well for today's share. So the topic we want to deal with is, can one make sushi on Shabbos? Of course, if you bought Friday afternoon, instead of going to the fish store, or besides going to the fish store, to get your nice piece of fish, gefilte, whatever you want for Shabbos, some people head off to the sushi store to get sushi. If you bought a platter before Shabbos and you have that Friday night, even daring enough to have that Shabbos day, there's nothing wrong with eating sushi on Shabbos. Right? Your grandmother might be upset if you replace the gefilte fish for the sushi, but really there's nothing wrong with eating sushi on Shabbos. That's okay. That's not what today's share is about. What we're going to talk about is making fresh sushi on Shabbos. That's the issue I'd like to talk about. Can one make fresh sushi on Shabbos? Now, really, with any question when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, the way to sort of frame it is, okay, Baruch Hashem, there are very clear laws when it comes to Shabbos, many, many laws. We know there are 39 malachos, 39 actions, which are defined actions that were done all the way back in the time of the Mishkan, the time of the temple and tabernacle. And these actions are malachos, 100% usher from the Torah to do on Shabbos. So you have to go through all 39 malachos, all these 39 different actions, to see if the process of making sushi resembles any of them. On top of that, there obviously are many Yisuri Durabanan, those connected with the malachas, and those just in general on Shabbos, including within the muksa. And then there's the general other area of some things that we refrain from doing on Shabbos, even if it doesn't fit directly in one of the 39 categories or any of the clear Yisuri Durabanan, other things that still we refrain sometimes from doing on Shabbos. So there's a lot of potential minefields when you introduce something new. Hey, does that fit? Can I do this on Shabbos? So I actually thought, you know, we had advertising for this share up by the middle of the week. I was inundated with people coming over to me. Sushi on Shabbos. What could be wrong with it? And everyone was trying to give a guess, potentially, what could be wrong with sushi on Shabbos. It's great. You put up the topic, and all the wheels start turning. So, I found there's not so much in print yet about this topic. As I said, it's relatively new in halakhic literature. I did find, and that's one of the basis, one of these Torah journals printed three letters, three responsa on this topic, which is quite interesting. I'll get to it by the end. But I'll go through three potential ideas of what might be a problem, and then we'll move on from there. So one issue that comes up on Shabbos is a concept called Makah B'Patish, one of the 39 Malachas. Makah B'Patish means one can't do the final hammer blow, the final act to make something complete. That is what one's not allowed to do that on Shabbos. And we do find such a topic, Makah B'Patish, does come up on food issues too. It's not just regarding, like, I'm finishing off an object I made, so that will be prohibited on Shabbos. You can't make a new object on Shabbos. But it also applies to food. They talk about a case of food that's easy sort of to heat up, to make. So pouring water on it, sort of to make it in an instant. You have some of these things that are made instantly with just pouring hot water on. That would be an issue, potentially, in Makom Bepatish. So one issue discussed is sushi is relatively easy to make, right? You have your seaweed, you have your rice, you have your raw fish, and you're just really assembling sushi. Not so much making a product. Okay, if they cook the rice, okay, fine. But for the most part, mostly it's assembling. So the post can say such a thing. It's hard to say that you're really making a final product. That's not called Makom Bepatish. You're not really making the final. Really, everything was here beforehand once you cooked the rice. So you're just assembling it. That's not called making a final product. So there's no problem with that. Another creative issue is one is not allowed to sew things together or connect, attach things together. That would be a melacha of kthira, tofer, to attach things. Obviously to sew, one would not be allowed to do on Shabbos. So what about that process? Are you sewing together these individual items? You have the seaweed, you have the rice, you have the filling, and you're putting it together into this clump that actually stays together. One of the issues we'll see, some of the posts can talk about, what happens if you drop it on the floor? Does it all automatically spread? Not so simple. They put a paste on the layer by the seaweed, and now depending on the rice, some people's rice already sticks together. Tongue comes out of the pot, even without paste. But you have the seaweed, the paste, the rice, the filling. It's made into a circle that pretty much stays together. So is that tofer? So once again, posts can say such an issue is not a problem, because even though it is some degree together, but you didn't really do an action. It's not like sewing that there's really an attachment here. It's still relatively unattached, and that wouldn't be a problem of sewing. So Makom Bepatish, it isn't. Topher, sewing, it also isn't. So far, so good. Let's get those chefs ready. Okay, smoothing. Okay, we can talk about that. We will, in fact, I'll talk about it maybe a little more later. Yeah, for the most part, you're not making it perfectly smooth, right? They just have to get it smooth enough that you can fit it around, you can wrap it around.
You also mentioned in that previous one about smearing some paste on.
Oh, right. That's true. So I don't know exactly how they do it. Are they really smearing it flat like that, or they just pour it on, squirt it on, and there. I'm not sure how much smoothing is in the process.
So the issue is smoothing versus sticking together.
Right, right. Now, a few people came up. Okay, so there's so far we haven't talked about a malacha. Or we've talked about malachas, but we haven't found one. Some people jumped to the concept of muksa. Muksa, we know, is an issue that things which are not really set aside for use on Shabbos, one can't use. And many things fall into the different categories of muksa. We're not going to deal with everything today. But one example of muksa, and this happens, people come in contact with this in many different scenarios, a nice raw piece of meat. You have a nice steak sitting there in your freezer. Simply, that steak on Shabbos will be muksa. Being the fact you can't cook it on Shabbos, and nobody is going to eat a frozen piece of meat. It's impossible. Even try throwing it to your dog, he'll break his teeth. So a frozen, hard piece of meat, there's absolutely no use for on Shabbos. Unless you set aside before Shabbos to be a paperweight. But it's not usually a good paperweight. It gets your pages quite wet. So it doesn't really have, okay. I guess if a burglar comes in, you can hit him with a nice block of meat, okay. Burglar comes in, you could, no problem, take your weapon out. But, weapon of choice.
If someone gets a bruise and there's no ice, put it on.
Right, that potentially, right. A bruise, people go to their ice chest and they don't have a piece of ice. Yeah, that would be a fair usage. But, and the Shulchan Aruch does talk about, when he talks about raw meat being usher, they also do talk about raw fish. Except that's before the Asians introduced us to sushi. Right? For the most part, I bet before sushi came about, people didn't eat raw fish around our community, correct? Raw fish. Sushi is where the trend began. But once that's a formable way of eating, then it's hard to argue that such a thing is muksa. If this is what people do, people eat raw fish. It's part of sushi.
The difference between little tiny pieces of fish versus a whole great big chunk.
Okay, right. So I don't know how they carve it off. I assume they're carving it off as, you know, tiny little strips. Right. So you're right. Maybe a big blob of raw fish people are not going to eat. So maybe that would be muksa. But the small little pieces, you know, that's probably the whole chachma of sushi. It doesn't cost so much. You get a little piece there as a filling, you know, that does it. So also in terms of muksa, once it becomes a food that people eat raw food, so then raw fish, at least the small strips of it, are not the same as raw meat. And now this is considered 100% valid things that people use this for, and it's mutar on Shabbos. So far, so good. We found absolutely no problem with making sushi on Shabbos, and really we should start seeing at every Kiddush, right? You'll have a sushi chef there, the fancy Kiddushes. Ooh, what do you have for the Kiddush? We had cholent and potato kugel. Oh, we had sushi. Right? It'll be the next trend in one-upping people with Kiddushes. Right? New York, they have such things, right? So, I came across, and I'll first talk about who's the one who brought it down. Rav Asher Weiss, Shlita, is a big Rav in Eretz Yisrael. He's a Rosh Yeshiva, he's a Posek, tremendous. He actually speaks English. I think he spent a good amount of time in America. He's Hasidic. He fits every single stripe and color. I think BRS brought him in not too long ago. He spoke in Boca. Wonderful, huge, huge Talmud Chacham. So he has a tshuva on this, and he brings up the issue of bona, of building, of construction. One is not allowed to build something on Shabbos. The classic, obviously, idea is you can't build a building on Shabbos. Construction has to halt for Shabbos. Right? The one construction which we allowed was actually the Mishkan. Okay, that's a different story. Maybe not. But, Havaminas. But this concept, bona construction, is discussion that it also applies to food. Doesn't just mean constructing a house, but even building when it comes to food would be an issue. So we'll touch on it. So where do we see the concept of bona in halacha? So it's really Gemara and Shabbos on Sadi Gimel. But if you look in your sheets, the Rambam, in Hilcha Shabbos, this is Perek Zayin Halacha Vav. There the Rambam is talking about the process of making cheese. I actually sat down with somebody involved in the kashrus industry, actually a few people involved in the kashrus industry, and they described to me the process of making cheese. Quite fascinating. Now, the Rambam codifies it quite, it's amazing. He told me the process, and I went back to the Rambam. I'm like, oh, that's what he means. I understood it much better. There's two basic steps in the cheese process. There's the one, sort of the separating the curd and whey and taking out these clumps, which are eventually going to become your cheese. And the second step is when you have those clumps, is to put it into a mold to make it into your nice block of cheese. Those are two steps in the process. Two most basic, biggest steps in the cheese making process. So the Rambam first goes through that this first step, halakeach chalav, enosim bal keva, heil chavtso. You put in this enzyme, this retin, to separate it. Hareze chayim mishim told us borer. Right? If you put in these enzymes and you separate it, that would be the iser, the prohibition on Shabbos of borer, of separating things. You're not allowed to separate one entity on Shabbos. So here you originally had this milk, and you're separating this milk into these components to make cheese. That first step, using those enzymes to bring it about, that would be a problem of bona, of borer. For the next point, vim govno v'asa gvina, but then you form it in the mold and you make it cheese, chayiv mishum bona. The Rambam tells us, based on this Gemara, that this would be a prohibition of building. Shakol mekavitz chelik al chelik, you collect together different pieces, v'davak ha'kol, and you join it together, ad sheyasa guf echad, until it becomes one body. Harezet doma lebinyan, this is comparable to building. So building, the Rambam tells us, is not just erecting a structure, but it also applies to food. You're taking these different components, putting it together, that's building. Yes?
The process of cheese, though, is different than the sushi in that even though you took this way out and put it in, it then sits for like 2 months or something. You're not going to eat it on the Shabbos.
Okay, excellent, excellent. I'm already leading you in while I'm going through the original sources. So I see everybody's mind is already turning. Hey, is this comparable to is sushi comparable to cheese or not? We'll get there in a moment. So this is the first source that we see a concept of building by food. Now there's a Magen Avraham, which is really the basis of this whole discussion, takes this one step further. And this one step is a doozy. So hold on to your yarmulkes. It says like this. This is on the left side of your page. Hamekabitz dvela. If someone gathers together figs, Vasi men an eagle, he wants to make, again, I don't even remember seeing this in my grandmother's house, but it's the Gemara talks all about these cakes, these round cakes of pressed figs. Right? It was a big delicacy back in the day. Okay? Different strokes. But,
actually, so, if you went into these health food stores today, you would probably...
They still have it.
Something.
Okay? They still have the old ones. Right? You could buy antique furniture too, you know. So, on the Kavitz Devela, the Hosimeno Eagle. You gather together these figs, and you want to make a cake. Or to eat them, or dates. Ve'echnas achavu behem. I just kavla gul echad. You roped it together until it somehow became one entity. Hareza told us mamer v'chayev. So it talks about it's a different problem. Mamer gathering things together in yichayev. V'chein kol kiyotz b'zeh. That's the words of the Shulchan Aruch. On the Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham makes the following comment. V'tzarech ian. This bothers me. The lama lo yischai b'zeh mishum bona. Why is the Shulchan Aruch classifying this as mamer, as gathering things together? There should be a different issue. Why isn't this considered bona, construction, building? Just like we have Gabi McGavin by making cheese. The Magen Avraham is struggling with what's the difference between making cheese and making this cake of pressed figs. What's the difference? They should both be the same. You're gathering together different components, making it into one entity. So I'm gathering together the different pieces, the clumps of cheese, of milk, whatever you want to call it, curd, to make it into cheese. And I'm gathering together the figs, the dates, to make these round cakes. Sounds like the same, the Magen Avraham says. Magen Avraham gives an answer. The only time it's considered building, it's considered construction by food, is if you're putting it together in a beautified way, you're trying to make it look good, you're trying to even it out, so then that will be a problem of bone. So by cheese, there are cheese. You want that cheese to look good. I'm going to put that in the showcase. So they make it into a certain mold, certain beautiful shape. This round cake of pressed figs, the Magen Avraham says, I guess you have to say, it was more made not the same way, not so much for beauty, but just sort of just pushed together. And that wouldn't be bona. To be bona, you also need this aspect of making it look good. That's a simple reading of the Magen Avraham. But what you definitely see from this Magen Avraham, before he gets to his answer, even at post his answer, is he was willing to say the concept of binyan is not limited necessarily to cheese making. There are other cases, which are not exactly like cheese, which would also fall into this category of construction by foods. So that's the Magen Avraham. Once you have these two as a background, we could start discussing sushi. Does one think that sushi is comparable to cheese making, to gathering together these pressed figs? Now, let's say in the case where I want it to look good. This is the Hanukkah present, pressed figs, right? So you're going to make sure it's a perfect circle and perfectly round, right? According to the Magen Avraham, such a case would be a problem. It's only because he assumed in the average case, it's not there to beautify it. So you have fig making, you have cheese making. What about sushi? Would sushi fall into this category? So people mentioned maybe ideas, maybe it should be different. You're putting together your rice, your seaweed, your fish. The guy sitting there, he's an artist. Right? There's a reason why women like eating sushi. It looks good. It's a beautiful platter. Look how perfectly it's made. Why do you think you have to have the guy there in the costume making the sushi? It's part of the aura, it's part of the experience, the artisan, how well it's made. Of course, they take pride in how well they do it. You try to do it at home, won't come out as nice, as tight, as beautiful as this artist who worked for many years in the Far East making sushi, right, in Brooklyn, right? So, what would you say? Is this a problem or not? Yes?
Just the fact that it's intended to be temporary from the start, because you're going to eat it right away, have any effect on it?
Oh, so this was a point that was brought up, right? Of when, the timing of when you're going to eat it. Does that make for a difference or not? Now, some people mentioned before, like the cheese process, yeah, that could take some time. And lavdavka, people are not necessarily eating it right away. Okay. Even by the cheese case, they talk about what happens if a person would do it right then. And they give the same halacha. But definitely the round cake of pressed figs, I assume as soon as it's finished pressed, you're ready to go. It doesn't take so long. And, right, obviously these fish things, sushi's not made there to sit around in the store In fact, I think if you're a good sushi store, you're going to get rid of the stuff, you know, overnight. Otherwise, the stuff is not going to taste too well. You're not going to have too many customers selling them old sushi. Right? I actually saw, it's funny, you know, you see the names of these sushi stores. You know, kosher sushi, Sushi Le Mahadrin. The best name I saw is on Main Street in Queens. There's a store that was called Sushi Meshuga. That's really what I think about this whole concept. But what would you say? Is this the same or not?
Is it just a question of bona? How about mimer?
Oh, it's okay. Good point. Once you saw the Shulchan Aruch over there. So don't bring a mimer. Uh-huh. But just bona.
So, isn't there a concept like the professionally made and amateurly?
Interesting. You're right. It definitely comes up in halacha. Sometimes differences between things which are made by a professional versus things which are made by a non-professional individual. But usually those are within prohibitions that are on the certain actions to do. You know, like on Chol Hamoed, it comes up, Avdu D'chol, you know, it comes up, Maisa Umen, is that something a professional person will make or not? But, okay, so you want to bring up, perhaps, you know, if you're making it in your house and you're not using a sushi chef and you're not such a bucky.
I make it sloppy.
that's quite sloppy. Cool. Not really putting together. Okay. So, the first opinion I'll give you, I'll follow through. Rav Asher Weiss actually concludes that making sushi 100% seems to be a problem, according to this Magen Avraham, of a prohibition of bona, of construction. He does say that. He says, I'll go through the tshuva a little bit later, but he says if it was him himself, maybe he would think of arguments why it's not the same. But he says, once you have this Magen Avraham, and the Magen Avraham applies it not just to the cheese making, but even to other scenarios, he says it's hard to say that sushi is so different. Now, I want to show you how major this thought of the Magen Avraham is, really expanding this whole notion of construction by food. It's not just by a cheese process where you're making cheese, but even things which are not a long process, right? That's some of the arguments people said. Well, maybe cheese, you know, that's takes time to make, so that's a real big process. What about the Magen Avraham was willing to say it applies to figs, seemingly apply to other things too. So if you look in the bottom of your sheets, the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch of Shlomo Gansfried, look what he writes. Aser Iser Bona Shayek Am B'machal teaches us that prohibition against building on Shabbos also applies to food. Could go on Hamigavin Gavina, someone who makes cheese, Olshem Edabit Peros, Umashval Sam, talks about the Magen Avraham's case, joining together fruits, Shiyu Yafim, that they should be pretty. Olchein, Kishachokim Betzilim in Beitzen. He gives another example. You want to make your egg salad, onions and eggs on Shabbos. Olm Cholov Meherring, or you want to make your herring fish with this thick sauce. You should be careful not to make it perfectly even, not to make it look pretty. Just plop it in that which it is. Kitzer is bringing up, and this is not just found in the Kitzer, I believe you also have the Chaya Adam, makes this point, is that you could potentially have these things, an issue of binyan, when you join together multiple things. You're making your egg salad. So you're taking together your pieces of egg, your mayo, your onions. So before you started, you had pieces of eggs, mayo, and onions. Now you're clumping it all together. Now let's not go through, there are potential other issues involved. Lush and machik, okay. But there might also be an issue of bona. You're constructing something. There's a new entity that you have now. right? Just like cement, right? You have this little mixture, you pour in the water, it hardens and becomes a new entity. So you have pieces of egg, mayo, onions, now tell them together, now you have egg salad. You have tuna fish. You have your herring mixture. Maybe those, the kits are Shulchan Aruch. Not some random sefer written today in Lakewood. This is the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. He says potentially there's an issue over here. So this widens the playing field. There are potentially more things if we think about constructing new items, right? Not everything is construction, right? You like having your nice piece of pastrami on Shabbos. So you take two slices of challah, put your pastrami in between, you got yourself a pastrami sandwich. No one's going to say a sandwich is construction. That's not construction. That still is a piece of bread, a piece of challah, and your pastrami. You didn't make anything over there. You didn't make a sandwich. Sorry, Mr. Earl. But when it comes to these other components, just like we talked about, perhaps by sushi, but you're making some type of egg salad, some type of tuna, some type of liver, where you're combining different factors together and you're making some new entity, that might be a problem of construction on Shabbos. Yes?
One of the things, the commonalities I'm seeing is with sushi, all of, assuming everything was pre-chopped, pre-read, all you do is assemble it, all of it is fully edible. With the cheese, it's not at all edible. There's a big difference right there. A watermelon boat, everything would be edible beforehand. So then the question would be, is building it into a big, huge display? So then you still have the issue with both.
Okay, excellent. Two good, very good points. Now, you always have to be careful to stay to the whole share. Because right now we stop, oh boy, all these things are problems. If I cure it, my wife is not going to want to hear the share. Okay. But relax. We'll go through some other steps here. But simply put, just like the Magen Avraham applied this concept of binyan, of construction, to press figs, so why doesn't it also apply to pressing together your eggs and your onions, your liver, tuna, the works? So if you look in the back of your sheets, there's happens to be a very popular modern day sefer, Orach HaShabbos, made by a few Talmid Chachamim in Yerushalayim. So they bring down this Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and about halfway through the piece, he writes, "L'chol ha'yamakum l'adam v'lomar t'la'asa Magen Avraham mishimbona el begvina olagulu devela." The Magen Avraham would only say the prohibition applies to cheese making, to making these cakes of pressed figs, shem omdim l'zman meruba, because you're putting them together. It's a long process for a long time. The gamhim kashim, and the product that's emerging is hard. The domim tfei labidyan, that's what you call building. Building doesn't mean something that you put together and doesn't last. Building doesn't mean something you put together and doesn't emerge hard. Building needs that. Achsal beitzim, your egg salad, omi lachlo tochzman kotzer, you can eat it right away. The gamhu rach, it's also very soft. Ve'edom klal l'binyan. So he says, who says this is also what you consider bona? Maybe it's not comparable. Your cheese, that becomes a substance, that's hard, sitting there for a while. Your round cake of pressed figs is also a hard entity. But these other things, okay, it doesn't qualify. He does, so He also talks about, there's really two parts, I guess, with the egg salad and stuff that you could be concerned with. Is one is the process of putting it together. The other part is sort of like the presentation when you put it on the platter. So they do talk about putting on the platter and evening it out. But there might be other issues involving that. Smoothing on Shabbos is potentially an issue. But like the simple idea, we talked about it with some people inside the kitchen in Kashrus. Like, usually the easiest way you want to get out, you have a whole vat of egg salad, of tuna, and you want to plate it. What's the easiest way to get it out of the vat? You take a scooper. So you scoop it out. So the fact that you have a scoop of it doesn't necessarily mean that's a nice presentation and you're trying to make it smooth, you're trying to make it... That's the easiest way to do it. It could be potentially an issue if you're arranging a platter exactly, exquisitely so. Talk about also the way you brought up before, Roy Berger, about cutting up watermelon, right? Sometimes you see these elaborate, you know, watermelon baskets and shapes. So yeah, if you would make some elaborate shape out of fruit, that might be an issue here of Bona. Also might be Ksiva, might be other issues involved. But you're making a form that, but in general, just cutting something up, even if it looks nice, but you're not really, that he ends off with the piece also, doesn't think that would be a problem.
Well, I'm talking about, it's completely cut up, but let's say you take the little melon balls or whatever and toothpicks and you start decorating. That's probably.
What, you're cutting up a melon?
So it's cut, let's say it's cut before Shabbos.
Yeah. And putting in a toothpick?
You're arranging it. You're building the whole watermelon boat. You're assembling all the parts to make it look pretty.
Interesting. I'm not sure. I mean, you have the form. The watermelon was cut out before Shabbos. And you're just putting the pieces in the basket.
Well, let's say you're taking a toothpick and sticking things on the end, on the sides, on the outside, or on the top.
That's hard to hear that you're really doing something over there. You're not really attaching anything. You're just arranging it. So the same way you could arrange all your cookies in a nice platter, you could arrange your pieces. Right. And even you're arranging it nicely. Like, I'm not sure, you know, is there anything different? I can make a pyramid of cookies on Shabbos. Right? And then, of course, the kid will come and take the one right there in the middle. Make the dominoes fall. Yeah, but that doesn't seem to me to be a problem. That's okay. That'll be binyan. Will that be?
Why not? Can you make a pyramid of cups?
Kids do it all the time.
That's all. I mean, again, it gets back into this nutshell. Well, Velma possibly has kids.
Yeah, I don't know. Like levels there.
How do you this any worse than Lego?
Huh? Oh, we're going to get there in a moment. I knew there'd be a kid over here.
I'm sorry.
Huh?
I'm sorry.
What was the question?
How is this any different than Lego?
I said worse.
We'll get there in a moment. We will get there. Yes. Excellent. Right? I'll deal with this question too. Okay, Rabbi, so far you said sushi is a problem. Could we hire a Gentile to make sushi for us,
that's
right? So it gets involved, you know, depends on the level. Sometimes if something's not a Torah prohibition, it's only an issur d'rabbanan. There are some circumstances that we allow for Gentiles to do work for us. So this be allowed, we'll talk about that. So far we presented the source of where this might be an issue. It comes up by cheese making, the Gemara talks about it, the Rambam talks about it. The Magen Avraham makes this major extension. It's not just cheese making, but apply to round cakes of fancy pressed figs or dates. But also apply there. So we also found the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, the Chayei Adam, expand it to also include making egg salads, tuna fish. These type of things might also be within the prohibition. But now I'd like to offer some potential reasons why it would not be a problem. And we'll apply this perhaps to sushi. First sefer that I found is Achilles Yaakov over here. I don't believe this is a stipler, although he does have a sefer on Shabbos. I believe this is the Achilles Yaakov of the of Yaakov Mi'lisa, the author of Nesivos HaMishpat, also has a sefer on Shabbos. So he challenges really the Magen Avraham's application of the Rambam to go beyond cheese making. And he says there's a basic difference between cheese making and putting together these round cakes of fruit. He says that when you make cheese, it's now become one entity. You can't separate those original components anymore. It became a new thing. As opposed to your round cake of pressed figs, granted they're pressed together, but you can still take a fig out. It didn't totally merge into one entity. So he says, who said there's an extension over here? The only time there's an issue of construction on Shabbos, if it merges into one entity, that you can no longer take the original pieces out. But if you still could take the original pieces out, so then that wouldn't be a problem of construction on Shabbos. That's what the Achilles Yaakov argues by the fig case. What would we say about sushi? So it's an interesting question. Right? This, you know, might need a lab for everyone to like check the metzias of sushi. I actually saw two rabbis arguing about this. One rabbi says, hey, look, it's not really, you know, you could take the rice out if you wanted. Right? You have these picky eaters, right? You have the people that take off the cheese from the pizza before they eat it. I don't know why they get it in the first place, but right? You have people that, always like taking different parts out. So, okay, I don't like fish. So you could take the fish out of it. So maybe that will be same type of thing. It should be like the fig case. Maybe it shouldn't be a perfect comparison, according to this Achilles Yaakov. Others challenge, what do you mean? It is one entity. You drop it on the floor, it stays together. Again, I would love to be in the lab where the two rabbis are like bouncing sushi and seeing like how much comes apart, how much stays together. Is this separate or not?
Yeah, they're wrecking it.
Yeah. Right, who said it's not fun to be a rabbi? Bouncing sushi. Right? I see my students are getting all excited. Can we have a lab experiment on this one? Yes?
I understand. Is this true? Is he this notion that you can pull apart, would we say that my real full-fledged binyan? I take bricks and I lie them with no cement in between them, lie them down and close off a wall. And I can go back and take off every brick.
Say interesting.
It's not permanent.
Build an entire house with bricks without paint, you know, without the mortar in between them.
That's
you
not.
Say that's not opinion.
Right. So it might also depend on the degree of how simple it is to pull it out. If you really stack them well, so it'll probably be a certain degree of effort to get out one of those bricks too. I'm not sure.
I'm gonna sit here and put brick. I'm gonna build a
near igloo.
A 4x4, stack it up.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I hear.
It's sort of like an igloo. It was built temporarily, but it's built.
Oh, so I'll get there in a moment. Excellent. There's an exos. So that's one issue. A potential another heter is something the Aruch HaShulchan brings up. It's interesting, this Magen Avraham was heavily talked about. You see in the later responsa. You look at the Aruch HaShulchan in the middle of your page, just want to quickly read inside. HaMagen Avraham Sivkot in Yedzayin, Hikshel Hach Tenokat, Te'enim Lomo Yeschai Mishambona Kamo Megavin. Vein Zedimyon, he says, you can't compare the two. The Megavin Nishtana Tzurasam and Akodim HaGevin HaLa'achakach. It's a totally different form from what you had before. Kamoba binyan may eat some labayas. Originally you had pieces of wood, and now you have a house. For lo came to ain't him, it's not true. See here, he qualifies a little bit bit different. It's not an issue of whether you could pull it out or not. He qualifies it, does it become a new entity? So cheese, you have these little particles that join together to become a piece of cheese. But by your figs, is that really a new entity? Or it's the same thing, just fused together? And he challenges, he doesn't understand the Magen Avraham. He says maybe this is what the Magen Avraham means in his Teretz, but it's not really mashma that. Now what do you say about sushi? Is sushi considered a new entity from what you had before? Or not? Forget about whether you can pull it out, not, it's separable. That's the first issue we dealt with. But would you call it a new entity? So some people argue, for sure, 100% is a new entity. Part of the definition of a new entity is in a new name. But more than that, it does become this, like we talked about before, this artist put together presentation. It happened to have components of rice, fish, and seaweed, but now it became a different entity. Once it's a different entity, that would be binyan. Or do you say, no, this is not really a different entity? Right? Is cholent a different entity than, right? We can talk about cholent, but you're not making cholent.
I know we mentioned the sandwich.
Yes.
Hypothetically, wrap is a sandwich also. I know it's not.
That's actually very.
Pastrami and a wrap. Similar to but Lamaisa.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Right? Would you think a wrap is a new entity? Very good point. I think most people would say a wrap is not really a new entity. It's a more condensed sandwich.
But the seaweed should not be any different.
So you would argue that sushi is comparable to a wrap. And it's not really a new entity. You wouldn't call a wrap a new entity. So why would you call sushi? Very good point.
You could put all the ingredients of the sushi on a plate without wrapping it up. And then before you put them together, eat them.
Right.
It tastes exactly the same.
Okay. You know, I saw in the Sefer, it's quite fascinating. They have multiple rabbis fighting about it. One of the rabbis, his brother is actually a friend of mine. His name is Rabbi Akiva Dershowitz. Same Dershowitz, the famous Dershowitz family from Borough Park back in the day. Happens to be probably the most famous person in the family is somebody named Alan Dershowitz, who gets around. But probably his great nephew argues the position that no, sushi becomes an entity, it's not like a wrap, it becomes its own thing. Yeah, that would be prohibited. Not so simple. One more potential heter, which they talk about, is what you call the Lego heter.
Oh, Lego.
There you go. Is one's children or oneself allowed to play with Lego on Shabbos?
Absolutely.
And it's like everything. Right? There are differing opinions. But there is a strong consensus that will be allowed on Shabbos. And the reason you're building, right? You see some of these Legos, boy, they could build, you know, the Statue of Liberty of Lego.
They do.
But the answer is these bricks were made to build and take apart. It's very easily, it's not long term you're building these things. So therefore, it's called binyan l'sha. But so too over here, one could argue that the sushi, you're keeping it there, but you know, it's not really a permanent thing. It's not the same as a piece of cheese, which those cheeses could last forever. The sushi for sure, we know the fish is going to go bad. But it's not the same type of building. Perhaps that will also be mutter. So, in conclusion, what do the rabbis say? Like we say, different opinions. The Minchas Asher, as I quoted, of this Reb Asher Weiss, well, it's his clear tshuva that he's prohibiting the making of sushi. I checked into it. The OU on its website has a response in the name of Rabbi Belsky that he also wasn't as clear as Rav Weiss to say for sure Bibona. He's nervous, perhaps it might be, and says it was Machmer. Someone else reported to me that Rav Belsky's position was a little more tame. He didn't really think it was a problem of Bona, but at the same time, didn't want for people to do it on Shabbos. I also heard from a reliable source that OU's policy officially is, if somebody wants to make sushi, let's say at a Kiddush on Shabbos, the Mashgiach would try to persuade the host from doing such a thing. But if it was something that he really wanted, seems they would somewhat allow for that. Supposedly that's what Rav Herschel Schechter and others have said.
Part of the reason for that is because they're worried that people are, they're not, it's not already pre-chopped. They're worried that they're going to chop up into tiny little pieces also.
Okay, excellent. There's another step involved in that too. Right. But it seems, of what my quick perusal of talking to people in the kashrus industry, there are people that do allow for it on Shabbos. You know, it seems no one's really pushing it to have sushi chefs over there. Not so simple that for that, they'll definitely make it more widespread. But in general, it's a topic, you know, especially the person's making it in their house. There are opinions that there would be an issue over here. But like many things, you know, perhaps check with your local practicing Orthodox rabbi. And if you're really meshuga for sushi, you feel that gefilte and everything, herring is not enough, perhaps, you know, there are heterim. Probably the best thing is serve sushi on Friday night, go to the store Friday afternoon, get yourself a platter, and enjoy your raw fish. Thank you very much. See you next week.